This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and give thanks. Good morning. It's so good to see all of you here this morning. If you are visiting with us, we would like to say a special welcome to you. If this is your first time visiting with us, we just ask that you fill out a little visitor's card. You'll find that in the pew in front of you, and then just drop that in the offering plate as it goes by. Just a reminder, the Thanksgiving service will be tonight in here in the sanctuary at 6:30. We hope that everyone will be able to join us. Also, the flowers that are right here were given today in honor of Jack and Ann Mark's 45th wedding anniversary by their children and grandchildren. And we're thankful to have their family here with us today as well. Just a few updates with prayer requests and prayer needs. Eleanor Kelly, we want to remember her. She's been in the hospital at CCH. Audrey Williams and the family of Jacob McNeil. Jacob was a 20-year-old young man who was killed in a car accident last night. So we want to remember his family during this difficult time. And then also we have several church members that are or have been in Kentucky serving and getting ready, well, serving the Thanksgiving meal for the people down there. And while they were serving, I believe it was on Saturday morning or Friday, somewhere in there, in front of the Lord's Cafe, there was a car accident, and a young lady named Josie died. And so we just want to remember her family as they are grieving and just that whole situation in general. And then also, the Kentucky team is on their way back from Kentucky, so we want to continue to pray for safe travels for all of them. Now let us turn our hearts and minds towards worship. Father, we are so grateful for this day that you have made. We're grateful that we're able to gather together today as a church family in your house. God, we have so much to be thankful for. Help us to remember that, especially this week during Thanksgiving, but also in the weeks to come. Help us not to forget all that we are so grateful for and blessed with. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's turn to hymn number 638. Now thank we all our God.
Mother, we are God with our dead and Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come into your house today and hear your word. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us each and every day. Father, as we enter this season, it's a Thanksgiving season. Help us to remember that it's not just a day, but a way of life as we go along loving you. Father, we ask that you might bless these tithes, these offerings, so that we might further your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Sing about what I hope you're going to be doing some during this coming week. 644, count your blessings.
Count your blessings, take them one by one. Have your will suppressed in what the Lord has done. Count your many blessings, take them one by one.
goodness, we have a crowd. I like it. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
It's so good to see all of you here this morning. So I brought this with me today. This is a thankful tree. And so last week with the youth group, I got them to write on these leaves things that they are thankful for. And then tonight, we are actually having a Friendsgiving. And so we're going to be sharing a meal as friends. And this is going to be our centerpiece. So I made a thankful tree of all the things that they're thankful for. Because what's this week? What's this week on Thursday? Thanksgiving. That's right. So what I want for you guys to do this morning, and just so everyone's not talking all at once, I want you to raise your hand, okay? Okay, in just a second. So I want you to raise your hand and tell me what you are thankful for, okay? Okay, what are you thankful for?
John.
For John? Okay, all right, yes. For family? All right, yes, ma'am. For God, that's a good one. For your friends? Yes, sir. He'll come back, okay. Do you? Anyone else thankful for? Yes. For your home? Okay. For food? Yes. For pets? Absolutely. I'm thankful for my pet. Anyone else? For Jesus. Yeah. Those are all great things that you're thankful for, and such important things. Our friends, our family, our food. We need all of those things. But what I want you guys to remember is that while we're celebrating Thanksgiving this week and we're talking a lot about what we're thankful for, we have so much that we can be thankful for every day, and we can thank God every day for all that we're grateful for. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 1, it says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. And so what I want y'all to do this week, as you're thinking about what you're thankful for, I want you to share that with someone, whether it's your friend or a family member. I want you to share it with them and tell them what you're thankful for, okay? Let's say a prayer together. Dear God, I thank you so much for all these boys and girls that are here this morning. God, we thank you so much for all the wonderful things that we have to be thankful for. Help us to give thanks to you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
First Chronicles 16, 29 through 34. Give to the Lord the glory his name deserves. Bring an offering and come to him. Worship the Lord in his holy splendor. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. Say to the nations, the Lord rules as king. Tremble in his presence, all the earth. The earth stands firm. It cannot be moved. Let the sea and everything in it roar like thunder. Let the fields and everything in them rejoice. Then the trees in the forest will sing with joy in the presence of the Lord when he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his mercy endures forever.
Pray with me. Giving thanks with a grateful heart is on our heart and mind today. And this coming week, to give thanks, should we pause and really reflect, Lord, on what you really want us to give? How our life and living might be our thanksgiving. That's what you're after. For as surely as we might think of a Norman Rockwell type of Thanksgiving expression, or see some of the commercials where everyone is sitting around the table and smiling and happy. Sometimes life is not like that, Lord. Sometimes the challenges are strong and difficult. Sometimes there will be folks who won't be at Thanksgiving this year that will make it a challenge. And yet, Lord, should we pause to go back to your word and allow you to speak to our heart and follow your prescription, we would see Thanksgiving differently. Maybe like those first pilgrims, in the midst of all the challenges of a new world, in the midst of all that they had lost and given up, of all that they were not prepared for, of all that was lying ahead, they paused and gave you thanks. May that be the way we live this coming week. We have mentioned the names of families that have tragically lost loved ones in accidents this week. We know those families are feeling the freshness of grief, and their challenge will be almost insurmountable. We pray for them. Those that are dealing with illness and waiting for testing and waiting for more medical understanding, they too will have special challenges, and we lift them to your care, knowing that's the best place. And we pray, Lord, as we continue now to worship you, as our choir shall sing unto you and allow us to listen, that you might create in us a spirit of thanksgiving with our whole heart for your wonderful deeds. In Jesus' name.
Give thanks with a grateful heart.
you, choir. Jimmy is taking some medication. If you see him moving a little slower, and should he wobble when he stands up, it is the medication, okay? Enough said. Well, it is good to be back in this place. It's been 2 weeks. That's a long time for a preacher not to preach. And I'm glad I've got an extra 45 minutes this morning to make up for that. They were all praying around the table, and one little boy, when asked what he was thankful, he said, thank you, the preacher didn't preach as long as normal. So I'll try to remember that on this day. And thank you for your prayers for me and my recuperation from my accident. I'm grateful it's not my preaching hand that I hurt. But typing is a challenge right now, so I will tell you that my wife typed this message. Now, it's still my message, but she typed it for me, and I am greatly appreciative of that. And my biggest concern is how I'm going to move these pages. So if something falls, y'all just pray. We're going to go in immediate prayer time till I get them back up, and then we'll go from there. Give thanks to God. Thanks be to God. You ever said that? In some of our churches, at the end of every reading of Scripture, they say the word of God, and they say, thanks be to God. It is indeed a time of thanksgiving. And it's a time for us to think about our thanksgiving. And I want to suggest to you that if you go by one way, you may not be able to be thankful. But if you'll go by the way God describes, I promise you, we can all be thankful. In fact, I think our text says it better than I can, so let's turn there to Psalms chapter 9. A Psalm of David, if you have some wording above the text. It talks about recounting the wonderful deeds of God. We're going to read Psalms 9, verses 1 through 10. And I would invite you to stand if you're able as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's Word. And thank you, Bailey, for reading for us a moment ago. I will give thanks to the Lord. Everybody with me? These next words are significant. With my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exalt you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice. And he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing. Most holy word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, whether we know it or not, the thing we want to do the most right now is to be thankful. For when we have developed that spirit, that attitude of thanksgiving, that attitude of gratitude, it permeates everything else we do, everything else we say, everything else we are. So, Lord, help us to hear in a new way how we, regardless of our circumstances, might be thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today, I'd really like to challenge our perspective, yours and mine. There's a story, a fable, as it were. It's told of a time back when kings had special servants, and this king had one special servant that he always kept at his right hand. Every morning when he got up, the first person in the kingdom that he would meet outside his family would be this servant. And this servant would be with him all day long until he would retire in the evening. And he loved this servant, this special servant, because he was such an encourager. Don't you like to be around encouraging people? I like encouraging people. The king would wake up and the servant would say to him, "This is a good day. We're alive. This is good. It is really good." The king would eat breakfast with his servant, and he would say, "Our breakfast, this is good. It is really good." When the king would put on his royal clothing, his servant would say, "You look so good today. It's good. It's really good." When people would come and complain, this servant would encourage them, and then he would encourage the king, and he would say, "It's not as bad as they think it is. It's really good. It's good. It's really good." The king loved to go hunting, and he loved a bow and arrow. And his servant would always be at his side. And when he had success, his servant would say, "This is good. This is really good." At night, when the king would get ready to retire, the servant would say, "This has been a good day. It's been good. It's been really good." One day, the king was out in his kingdom, and he decided to do some target practice with his bow and arrow, and there was an accident, and he cut off his right thumb. See where I'm going with this today? And it was terrible, and attendants were trying to help the king, and the king was in great pain. And this servant that was always by his side said, "This is good. This is really good." And it angered the king. He didn't want to hear that garbage. This wasn't good. How could this be good? He was so angry that he had the servant that he loved thrown into prison. He said, "I don't want to ever hear your voice again saying, 'This is good. This is really good. This is bad. This is really bad. And you should know better.'" After the king healed, a few weeks later, he made his way out and a storm came up and his whole party got disoriented in the storm, and they wandered outside his kingdom and they became separated. Things were going bad because they realized not only were they in a dangerous area, but they were in an area that was known to be inhabited by a group of people that were so primitive that they were cannibal. They ate people. And as you know, this fable would continue. The king would become captured by the cannibals. And they took him to their camp, and they were preparing to have him for dinner. And right before that event took place, as the water was boiling, one of the men noticed the king's thumb was missing. And because he was damaged, he was not fit for their meal. And so they released him. And as he left, and headed back toward his kingdom, he remembered the words of his servant. This is good. This is very good. This is really good. And he thought, he's right. He was right all along, and I didn't see it. And I've thrown him in prison. And for the last year, he's been in the darkest dungeon. He's been in prison at my command. And so immediately, when he knew where he was, he headed to the prison. And he found that servant that he loved. He told him the story of the cannibals and what was happening and how he was right all along and how he was sorry he had thrown him into prison, to which his servant responded, "Oh no, it's good. It's really good that you put me in prison." And the king was again perplexed. How in the world could it be good that you've been in prison for a year in the darkest dungeon of the kingdom? And the servant said, "Because, my king, had I been with you when they rejected you, they would have eaten me. It is good. It is really good." Interesting story, isn't it? Today, on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, are we thankful? You know what our tendency is, yours and mine? It's to be thankful for circumstances. If everything's going well, it's easy to give thanks. And yet, that's not at all what Scripture teaches us to do. That's not the lesson at all. In fact, the lesson of Scripture is to be thankful regardless of circumstances. So I'm going to make a difference between what I call circumstantial thanksgiving and spiritual thanksgiving. There's a difference between thanking your lucky stars and thanking God Almighty. There's a big difference between those two things. In a world that often connects gratitude and good fortune, it's difficult to speak of thanksgiving in difficult circumstances, and probably all of us here have some level of discomfort even today. Maybe there's a stressor at work or at school. Maybe there's an issue at home. Maybe there's something that is on our heart and mind and we're concerned about. Can you give thanks when things aren't going well? Well, let me use me as an example, may I? Let me tell you about the last few days in my life. You know, I was trying to cut the Iliagnus by my house. I'm trying to be thankful for Iliagnus, you know. That's that hedge that grows right beside my house. And in that effort of trying to do a good deed for my neighbors who live down Cedar Lake Road and keep those long strands from hitting their car when they come by my hedge, I cut my finger rather severely. Well, if that wasn't enough, the doctor, when he did surgery, he put my hand in a cast, and I took last week his vacation to deer hunt. And you can imagine my disdain when I noticed my trigger finger was tucked in by the injured finger, which, by the way, was two fingers away. I didn't understand why that had to be. But gratefully, today, it is free. But I did take that week since my finger became free, and I hunted. I hunted every day, sometimes twice a day. And you know how many deer I shot with my good trigger finger last week? Not a one. Not nary one. During this same week, I have several family members that have began to deal with their chronic illnesses. Becky is currently a patient at UNC Hospital, even as we speak today. My son-in-law, Paul, has had a great amount of pain and discomfort. If we're looking at circumstances, oh, by the way, did I mention that while I was cutting that hedge, I got a real good case of poison ivy. Did I even mention that? And the doctor said, no, don't put that medicine on it. That won't allow your finger to heal. You see, you might ask, well, how are you ready for Thanksgiving? But I am. I'm excited about it. I'm excited that it is a time when I can pause, maybe with some of the family, maybe this year not all the family, but whether I'm with them or not, I'll be with them. You know what I mean? And I'll give thanks. And maybe I can give thanks as our text shows, because look with me at verse 8 of our text this morning. In verse 8, he says, he judges the world. I'm going to give you some W's. The first one is the judge of the world. He judges the world with righteousness. Here's what I know, and I don't know how. If I knew how, I'd be God. But I do know, because Scripture teaches, and Jesus said it was so, that he will make every wrong right. Every wrong, right? Every injustice will be justified by the righteous judge of the world. God will fix it all. I promise you that's true. The judge of the world, he'll answer every question. He'll answer every question. I heard a person talking and said, we need to be asking the right question. Because the questions that God will answer are those about the important things. You know, you may not can go to the Bible and find out how to change the oil in your car. It might not answer that question. But if you want to know how to deal with the person who's changing the oil in your car, or helping you with the oil in your car, or the person who made the oil in your car, or you want to know how to deal with the person that's going to be riding in the car that you're changing the oil in, God will help you with that. Those answers will be answered. The righteousness, God's righteousness, it will prevail. Here's what I know. I can't imagine what it must have been like in Sutherland, Texas, 2 weeks ago when disaster fell on that congregation of believers. I can't imagine that kind of horrific situation anyway in my mind. But I know one day God will make every wrong right. I know that. I pray for them. I hope you still do. And for those in Tennessee and for those in Charleston who've still been touched, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who by worshiping their Lord lost their lives and many were injured. The righteous judge, he'll change everything, and he is the reason to give thanks. In fact, let me let you hear him say it better than I can say it. It's in a passage you know, and I tried to quit. I wanted to quit at verse 4, but I just got to go all the way to verse 8. It's in Revelation chapter 21. It's that powerful moment where John, as this revelation was poured out in his heart and mind, he saw this, and this is what he said. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth, they had passed away, and the sea, it was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. I just really want to pause here. I want to pause about 10 more times before I got here. But you want real Thanksgiving? You allow God's dwelling to be in your life, and you'll begin to live a life of Thanksgiving. If he begins to dwell with you. Powerful words. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And verse 4 is what you want to hear, about every wrong being made right, about every question being answered, about the righteousness of God making a fallen world whole again. He says, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning. There'll be no more grieving. No crying. There'll be no more crying. No pain. There'll be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, listen to this. I am making all things new. Every wrong will be remade into the newness and the rightness of the God who created this world. And then I like what he says. He says, write it down. For these words, they're trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I'll give from the spring of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage. And I will be his God and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly and the faithless and the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Verse 8 said, he will judge the world. I've got to remind us before I move on to the other two points, the other two W's, that there is a warning. You and I, we will be judged. What we do matters. Oh, church, we can't become so complacent that we think that all we have to do is the minimal and think that's okay. We're to be the salt and the light. We're to be the very mouthpiece of God, the very hands and feet of God. You weren't given a job so you could enjoy your job and spend all of those resources upon yourself. You were given a job because God created you to use everything for his kingdom. And when you do that, you'll go to a new job tomorrow. When you do that, you'll go to a new place tomorrow. When you go to school, it'll be a different school tomorrow. What we do matters. What we think matters. How we act matters. Who we are, it really does matter. Let's make sure our hearts are right with God. You know that, right? You know today whether it's right with you and God, right? You know. You know. I know. We know. Oh, to have Thanksgiving. Don't leave this place today and it not be right. Don't leave today. Look with me quickly at verse 1. I love this verse. It says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. With my whole heart. I love that word. Whole, complete, whole heart. As opposed to half-hearted. Can you imagine, guys, you're seeing this young lady and she's the one, you know, you found her. Or girls, you found this guy and he's the one and you know. And so in this moment of care and love, you reach over and whisper and you say, I just want to tell you, I love you with 3/5 of my heart. I really do. 3/5. 3/5. That's better than half. Come on now. 3/5. No, you don't say that. What do we say? What do we say? You know what we say. I love you with my whole heart. We understand what that means, right? You're the one. You're the one. I love you completely. Can you imagine in that same tender moment, you reaching over and saying, and I want you to know, I think about you occasionally. Probably twice a week anyway, I think of you occasionally. No, that's not what we say, is it? What do we say? I think of you all the time. How do we deal with God? Do we love him with 3/5 our heart? That's more than half. Do we think of him occasionally? Especially when we need something. When we cut our finger, or things aren't going well at school, or there's problems in the home. God demands wholehearted love, wholehearted thanksgiving. And Horatio G. Spafford, in a very familiar hymn, the third verse of that hymn tells us why. In the third verse of that famous hymn, he says, my sins, oh, the bliss of that glorious thought. Listen to this. My sin, not in part, not part of my sin, not some of my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. And the chorus, you know, right? It is well. It is well with my soul. when we understand that Christ took all of our sin away. He took the whole thing. He took it all. He took all of its power. He took all of its evil destiny. He took all of its damnation that would send us to hell. He took it all, and he nailed it with himself on the cross. And so he calls us to be thankful with all our heart, wholeheartedly. Oh, I know, to get where we want to be in life, to get to that place of peace that we all long to have, to make sure all of our relationships are right, we've got to get this part first. We've got to love God the way God says we've got to love him. We've got to give him the thanks and let everything out. You know what I see so many times is people want to love God with a portion of their heart and people with everything else, and it never works. But when we love God completely and we are striving every day to see him and hear him and know him and walk with him and love him, then out of that overflow, we begin to do our individual relationships with others better. And when we get it backwards, it's a mess, isn't it? Brings me to our last W. In verse 1, he also reminds us to examine those wonderful deeds. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. I think we spend too much time analyzing God's deeds rather than admiring them. God's wonderful deeds should drive us to his omnis. You know the omnis of God? Let me use some big words for you. Omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. You know those words? Omniscience is all-knowing. Omnipotent is all-powerful. And omnipresence is God is everywhere at all times. That's the God we serve. He's not some little God that's kind of like the tooth fairy that hangs around when we need him and we can look under our pillow every now and then and find a prize. No, he's the God who's everywhere at all times. He is right now in this sanctuary, and he is at the last planet of the universe planning what's next right now. You get your head around that, and you begun to understand. And I can't get my head around that, but I can admire that. And I can be blessed by that. And I can give thanks for that. You see, God created us all in such a miraculous and marvelous way. Ways we have no way of knowing. I got a question for you. Do you know that in every finger of your hand, you have an ascending and a descending tendon? Did you know that? I found that out last week. Right now, I've got one that's in the shop, okay? I've got one that's needing some help right now. But I didn't, you know, and I had never thought about it, but I don't remember if it was a nurse or the doctor says, one pulls your finger down and the other pushes it back up. Who would have thought of that? I'd have just made fingers, wouldn't you? But God made one to pull and one to push. You ever admired the tendons in your fingers? I bet you haven't till today, but I hope you will. And realize that Jeremiah was right. We are miraculously and wonderfully made in our mother's womb. It's amazing. And we need to be amazed by God's wonderful deeds. Have you ever stood in awe of a sunset? Have you ever been amazed? And I am every time. I love to go see newborn babies. I love, because it is something. I'm walking into a room that just a few minutes ago or a few hours ago, there was not a person there, and now there's a person there. There's a brand spanking new human being. Wow! I get that feeling every time. Every time. That's amazing. God's wonderful deeds. Have you ever watched a flock of geese fly across the sky? And one on the end suddenly would break out of formation and move all the way to the front, and one would peel back. I don't understand how that all works, but I just am in awe when I see that. Have you ever been impressed at a solar eclipse? Remember that? Or a shooting star at night? God has created it all in such vivid detail. He's the master. He's the master. And there's value in the master. You know, it was demonstrated for us. It was demonstrated for us. I saw it on, I don't know what channel it was. This past week. A picture sold. Did y'all hear about the picture that sold? It's a picture of Jesus. How many of you heard about that picture sold? Raise your hand high. Be proud of what you... These folks spend way too much time watching TV. I want you to know that. It was a painting that Leonardo da Vinci... How many of you ever heard of Leonardo da Vinci? Okay. I don't think he lives in Deep River, but he's... I'm not sure he's in the United States, but he's pretty famous, Leonardo is. By the way, my Becky and I were together when we heard that story, and she said, you know, he always paints himself and everything. He paint Mona Lisa and Jesus. And you look at those paintings. They look like Leonardo da Vinci, by the way. You wonder what Leonardo da Vinci looks like? You can look at his paintings. That was just pretty cool. I didn't know that. Well, you know how much that painting sold for? $450 million. Now, I got to ask this question. I prayed about this. Does anybody in our church have $450 million? Would you? I want to talk to you right after worship if you do. Anybody? I was afraid of that. That's okay. That's okay. $450 million. Oh, I could have all kind of philosophical conversations with you about that. But that's not my point. Because I thought, Lord, thank you. That illustrates my point. Why? Because Leonardo da Vinci is considered one of the masters of artistry. And his works are valuable because of who he is. I'll paint you a picture of Jesus for $400 today, okay? I'll be glad to do as many as you want. But there's no value in my painting. You don't even know how good I could do it, do you? But it would never entertain that kind of value. And unfortunately for Leonardo, when he was alive, it didn't gain that kind of wealth for him either. But isn't it amazing when we determine something from the master's hand, how valuable it is? Can I ask us this question in closing today? What's not from our master's hand? What do you have that's not from his hand? What are you a steward of? Let's use New Testament Jesus language. He doesn't talk about owning things. He talks about being a steward of. What are you a steward of right now? It didn't come to you because God gave you the ability. God gave you the body. God gave you the mind. God created the resources for which, whether it's money or whether it's property or whatever it is. $450 million. Almost $500 million for a painting. Because folks recognized its value. You want to give thanks today, not because of circumstances, not because of the painting, but because of the value of the master. Because of the value of the one. Paul said, I'll know nothing but Christ. When you know the master, that's enough. Hear these words. I'll give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds. He who judges the world with righteousness. On this Sunday before Thanksgiving, let us determine in our hearts to give spiritual thanksgiving, that we'll offer wholehearted thanksgiving for the wonderful deeds of our Lord, the judge of our world. Blessed be the name. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment. Lord, there may be someone here today who's facing a tremendous challenge. And I don't want to minimize that, Lord. But I do want to give the answer that I believe is the true answer, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of cut fingers or poison ivies or brokenness or heartache or disappointment or even pain in relationships, Lord, even in loss, even in death. Lord, you are still our Lord. And so we will not give thanks for our circumstances, but we will give thanks to you, our Master, for you are more valuable than a painting of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is page number 537, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. This morning our altar will be open to anyone who might need to come for whatever reason. If God is laying something on your heart, maybe you need to bring something today to the altar and just leave it here. You're invited to do that. Maybe each of us need to examine where we are and the circumstances. My goodness, they may be rotten, but they shall not determine our thanksgiving when we are spiritually motivated. And we can, as we sing, telling that wonder story, begin even now to give thanks with our whole heart as we stand together. Tonight is 6:30. Come back. We've got, first of all, I'll give this disclaimer. I'm not preaching, so you can come on back tonight. But we've got, I've asked three to share some stories of Thanksgiving. And we're going to have a Thanksgiving moment and some special music. Continue to pray for our Kentucky folks as they are traveling back today after serving. I'm anxious to hear the story of what all they were able to accomplish in our Lord's name in Whitley City at the Lord's Cafe. 6:30 tonight. I'll see you then, right? And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that you and I, we might be His wholehearted, thankful people in the midst of all this. Let's pray with you. God, we leave in your power, motivated by your presence, with the mission of your peace to carry to your world that needs peace. Go with us and give us a happy Thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, I'll sing a wondrous story.
and spread Jesus' wondrous story.